You are listening to today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and we pray that you are having a great day, and you've got your plans in place to be worshiping the Lord this coming Sunday, Palm Sunday. And, you know, on Palm Sunday, that was the day when everybody was beginning to understand that Jesus was fulfilling prophecies that had been given hundreds of years before, and they started crying out in praise and started fulfilling scriptures themselves with their response to Jesus making his entrance into the city. And the religious leaders said, "Would you tell them to be quiet?" And Jesus' response was, "I tell you that if these do not cry out, if these hold their peace, the very stones will cry out in their place." And I don't want to rock having more to praise God for than what I've got. And so I want to take this opportunity to invite you to church Sunday morning as we celebrate what Jesus has done. There is a reason to praise God. And if you don't have one, come to church. If we can spend a few minutes together, I can help you to find a reason to praise him. And so don't miss the opportunity that we have over the next couple of weeks. I mean, to celebrate the anniversary, if you will, the time on the calendar that says, we're going to put special emphasis on this today, but in actuality, Christians get to celebrate the resurrection every single day of the year. And so I pray that you will come to Merritt Assembly God, 165 North Grove Street. We believe that there is a benefit to you in becoming an active worshiper in the house of God. And we would love to have you be a part of Merritt Assembly God. I tell parents this. I said, if you bring your kids to church, not send them to church, but bring them to church. I say, and if they watch you as you are passionately worshiping Jesus, and they watch you as you're studying the Word, and they watch you and observe you as you're giving your best to Jesus, I said, I cannot guarantee you that along the way they will not make some decisions you wish they wouldn't make, and they end up hitting a difficult patch in their life. I can't. I wish I could guarantee you that it was, a rose garden. Again, when I was growing up, Lynn Anderson had a song said, "I never promised you a rose garden." I can't promise you that there will not be wounds and detours and distractions and hurt and misery. I can't promise you that. I wish I could. But if you do not bring your children to church, if you do not show them the value of the Word, if you do not allow them to see that God is the highest priority in your life, I can guarantee, almost 100% guarantee you, that they will hold God in less honor than what you hold him now. And in doing so, they they will have less to do with God than you did. I pray that that's not the case. I pray that you make God a priority for you, for your children, and for your grandchildren. And so we want to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. We are living in a moral depravity in this day and time that, you know, we only thought it was bad before. It's really bad now. It's really, really bad now. But the Word of God says, where sin did abound, grace does much more abound. And so I want you to come and experience the grace of God. We hope to see you at church on Sunday morning. It would be a blessing to us, and it'd be a blessing to God, and we hope it would be a blessing to you. So we're going to Romans chapter 12 again today, verse number 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. What we are talking about here in these verses is, what does the life of a believer devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it look like? And so yesterday we focused on not lagging in diligence, and that means not holding back, but in eagerness to experience all that God has for us. The second phrase in this particular verse is being fervent in spirit. Fervent means to be enthusiastic or excited. When I think of the word fervent, I think of the word red hot. I think of something where the temperature is very intense. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. You and I are not supposed to be spiritually lazy. We are not supposed to be spiritually stagnant. We are supposed to be spiritually passionate, and that means enthusiastic and excited. So I will tell you a true story from the first year that my wife and I were married. My wife was very athletic in high school. You know, she had Letterman jackets from two sports and things like that. But when it came to football, she really wasn't much of a football fan. She's more of a volleyball person, if you want to know the truth. She's volleyball, she's tennis. She loves those two sports. She's even a little bit of a basketball fan, but very little now. Been to some Little League baseball games, and she is the loudest cheerer at the baseball games when the grandson is playing there. And so I, on the other hand, grew up in a very sports-minded family. We played just about everything. We didn't do soccer. There wasn't enough scoring in soccer for us. But we wrestled, we played baseball, played football, played basketball. There was all sorts of sports, and we had football teams that we were rooting for. And I remember that the University of Oklahoma was playing in a major bowl game, and I don't remember who they were playing. I don't remember what bowl game it was. I just remember that it was going late into the night, so it was probably the Orange Bowl back in those days. And my wife, because of our work schedule, she had already gone to bed. And so I'm out in the living room in our little bitty apartment, and I'm watching the game, and Oklahoma scored a touchdown as late in the game. I think that meant that we were going to win that game. And I remember when I saw that we were going to win. Now, believe me, my heart's been broken many times other than that, but saw we were going to win. I jumped up on the couch. I raised my hands, and I started dancing on the couch, all the while not making a noise because I wanted to live. I was expressing how excited I was about a football game, but I was still being considerate enough that I let, you know, my wife sleep. And in our society, that is a perfectly reasonable response to the team that you're rooting for doing something to achieve success. It meant they won the game. And you are allowed socially to respond to victory in an enthusiastic and an excited manner. I want you to understand that in the spirit realm, heaven has a fervent, enthusiastic, excited, jubilant, red-hot celebration every time a person repents of their sin and their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a person, now, I try and maintain a self-controlled demeanor here on the radio because I don't want to blow your eardrums out. I am, however, a person that gets very excited about preaching the Word of God, very excited when people lead other people to Jesus. I get very excited when people who are broken physically experience a supernatural healing. I am very excited when there are signs and wonders that take place and people grow spiritually. If we were to look at the spiritual thermometer for your life, what would it be indicating? Now, here's the thing. From what I understand about heat versus cold is that whenever something gets hotter, the molecular reactions begin to become more rapid. I don't want to be a Christian that has lost my first love. I don't want to go out as a grumpy old man. And one time God, I was praying. I said, God, I don't want to be a grumpy old man. And he said, then don't be a grumpy young man. And so I try very, very hard not to be grumpy. I want to be someone who is fervent in my spirit. I want to be someone who is very excited because God is still sovereign. God is still omnipotent. God is still omniscient. God is still speaking. God is still acting. God is still giving gifts to the church. God is still directing and moving and ordering people's steps so that the kingdom of God will be built. I believe very much that we should be enthusiastic and fervent in our spirit about the things of God. I don't want my testimony to be, I was a very enthusiastic sinner, but I was a very lackadaisical believer. I don't want to be that. I told someone here, and I recently I said, God's dropped a thought into my spirit about a message, and the message is titled Dangerous Faith. Dangerous Faith. I believe that we ought to be fervent in our spirit on a daily basis so that we continue to advance in our maturity level and advance in our effectiveness. So we need, let me give just a little bit of a recap here of what a devoted life of a believer should look like. We should love without hypocrisy. We should hate that which is evil to the point that we put distance between the evil act and ourselves so that we are not impacted by that. We cling to what is good. We are devoted to one another with brotherly love. We honor one another, giving preference to one another. We are not holding back when it comes to our eagerness. And we are enthusiastic and excited in our spirit. What would our worship services look like if the worship leader wasn't the one trying to pump us up to get us into the spirit to praise and worship God? What if when we woke up this morning, the Spirit of God had said, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I want you to rejoice and be glad in it. And when we showed up to church, there was already intense worship rising out of our spirit, and we were just ready to get on with worshiping God as soon as the earliest opportunity came. I tell you, our worship services would be radically transformed, and I believe we would see God do great things in our congregational midst. The next one is serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Now, Jesus came. He did not come to be served, but to serve, to seek and save that which is lost. A lot of people want to start their service at the top. But I need to remind you what the philosophy of the world is. The philosophy of the world wants to elevate a person to the level of their incompetence. In other words, they want to continue to cause you to rise until you rise to the point that you can no longer thrive. And then at that point in time, they have two words for you. Bye-bye. God doesn't set you up to fail. God sets you up to succeed. And Jesus describes that when we are serving Him, serving the sovereign one, the self-existent one, the one who exists all by himself, that when we are serving Him, it manifests in very simple and tangible ways. It could be that the serving the Lord simply means that if someone needs a cup of cold water, you're there to provide it for them. If someone needs prayer, you're there to pray with them. If someone needs something done around their house or needs something picked up from the grocery store, that you are there to serve them. And so with that being said, when it comes to serving inside the house of God, serving under, you know, the spiritual leadership, and whether it's youth ministry, children's ministry, worship ministry, maintenance ministry, custodial ministry, whatever that might be, clerical ministry, See, there's all sorts of different things. People want to start in the pulpit, but they've got to realize that before you ever get there, that the kingdom of God says you've got to show that you are able to be faithful in the little things. And then when you're faithful there, God will elevate you so that you're serving to an even greater capacity. And in doing so, you create an opportunity for someone else to come up and develop their skill set. If you go back to 1 Kings, and Elijah has defeated the prophets of Baal and Asher. There's 850 prophets that couldn't get anything accomplished spiritually, but Elijah prayed one simple prayer and demonstrated to all Israel that the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God, and then answered a prayer that ended a 3.5-year plague. Jezebel wasn't happy. Jezebel sent him a threat and said, I'm going to make you like one of my prophets by this time tomorrow. And Elijah takes off running and ends up, you know, at the Mount of God. And he's saying, God, just kill me. Just take me out of here. As far as I'm concerned, this nation is lost. And God said, I've got reserves that you don't even know about. You're not done. I still have assignments for you. I want you to anoint this person to be king over Israel. I want you to anoint another king to be king over a foreign country. And I want you to anoint this person to be prophet when you are done. And that person's name was not Elijah, but Elisha. And Elisha was actually out plowing a field with a yoke of oxen when Elijah comes by, pours a bottle of oil over him, and says, you know, God anoint you as a prophet. And Elisha says, don't leave. And Elijah says, what have I done to you? And Elisha said, don't leave. I've got to go over here, and I've got to make a sacrifice. He takes the oxen he was using, he takes the equipment, and he offers them as a sacrifice to God. And he began to follow Elijah. Let me tell you about the end of the story. The end of the story, Elijah is getting ready to be taken up in a whirlwind, and everybody knows it. It's no spiritual secret. Elisha said, shh, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. And right before Elijah is carried off, he says, you've been faithful. You followed me. You've refused to go away even when I told you to go away. What do you want God to do for you? And he says, I want a double portion of your anointing. I want to be twice as effective in ministering to Israel as you have been. And I've never taken the time to count this, but Elijah is carried off. He drops his mantle. He had told Elisha, if you see me when I am taken away, then you will have what you've asked for. And Elisha cries out as Elijah is being carried away, and describes what is going on to let everyone know, I see what is happening here. And some people have counted and said that when the dead man that was thrown into the grave of Elisha, and he touched his bones and that person came back to life, that marked, you know, twice as many miracles as Elijah did. I haven't taken the time to count those. I'm just telling you what someone else said. That's the end of the story. In between the sacrifice and the picking up of the mantle, the Bible describes that Elisha had a ministry. And the ministry that it describes is that he used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. I want you to think about that. He was a hand washing attendant. He was the one that carried the pitcher. He was the one that went and got and retrieved the water. He was there to make sure that when the man of God went to eat, when he went to minister, if he had done something that was very dirty and dusty, that he said, "You don't worry about that. I'm gonna make sure that everything is necessary for your hands to be clean when it's time to eat." I look at that and I say, you know, that seems like a very trivial thing. Jesus, in John 13, he said, "You call me Lord and Master, but not one of you paid attention to the fact that everybody's feet needed to be washed here in this room." I want to encourage you today, as you are serving the Lord, everybody wants to do something great. Everybody wants to do something that's going to make a difference in the world. I want to let you know that God has the world's greatest accounting system. Not one thing that you ever do in serving the Lord will go unnoticed or unrewarded. It is not whether it is great in the eyes of men. It is whether or not it is done in faith to the glory of God. Every person, whether they're the preacher or whether they're the person that mows the grass, whether they're the person that cleans the restrooms or teaches the Sunday school class, every one of those ministries is vitally important. I remember hearing a story about a lady and her serving the Lord was serving, I think it was like fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys in this one particular church. And they were a group of people, a group of boys that no one else believed in too much. And she went in and she began to serve the Lord and taught those boys. Every one of them ended up making a decision of faith. Every one of them served the Lord. Every one of them made a kingdom impact. And I will tell you why. They made a kingdom impact because there was a lady that said, "I'm going to serve these boys because I'm serving the Lord." And in serving the Lord, serving those boys, she raised up a generation that touched a huge number of people. May you serve the Lord. We'll see you Monday right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."